ESPN 100.3 Region.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George. Hola, amigos. It is Friday, the weekend. A little high school football. We'll talk to South Lafourche head coach Brian Young this hour. They won't be playing at home, but they're playing. We'll talk about that. The weather is going to be fantastic tonight for a little high school football. Don't you pull out the sweaters and the hoodies. Come on, enjoy the weather. It's absolutely gorgeous. And, of course, we'll talk Saints. We'll talk all of that and more. Another work week in the books. Hopefully this week was better than last week, and next week will be better than this week for many folks. Pelicans Media Day Monday. We'll be broadcasting live from the Smoothie King Center. Hopefully talking to some players and also hopefully talking about a Saints win. If you watch the Panthers take on the Texans last night in Thursday Night Football, Texans had a shot for a bit. They lost Christian McCaffrey and J.C. Horn. So all those Panther fans that were laughing at Saints fans complaining about the old, you're crying over spilled milk and sour grapes because your Saints players were hurt and all of this, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, exactly. Might be a difference maker when you actually don't have your players. Game changed a little bit. Panthers still managed to win, so they improved to 3-0. Coming up on today's show, Sean Fazan. Next segment, we will chat Saints with him from Fox 8 Sports. Ben Mintz loves his Ole Miss Rebels, and also we'll touch on the SEC and a way on how he can help Hurricane Ida victims as well. Brian Young, head coach for the South Lafourche football team. They play tomorrow, so we'll talk with him. Rafael Esparza, 115. Marlin, 130. Evan Lazar, Patriots beat writer, will join us at 1:45 to give us the latest on New England. Leo Haggerty at 2:30 is going to join us as well to go around the NFC South. So let's bring in the intern as he will give us our question of the day. What's up, man?
How you doing, Gus? Another beautiful day.
It is beautiful. What's going on?
Nothing much, but I'll give y'all the question of the day for the Sports Hangover Friday edition of the show. Saints fans, keys to the game against the Patriots this upcoming weekend, and also give us your prediction, score prediction, or just prediction all around for the game. You can comment at ESPN Radio NOLA over on Twitter or call in 800-998-1003.
All right, Jordan, getting closer to the weekend, getting closer to the game. Have you thought, I mean, we know what the keys are, right? What's the key to the game? Block? I'm still going with that. I'm not moving off of block. Block is going to be what I'm going to go with here. Block. Blocking is my key to the game. But when you take a look at the injury report and you look at all the different, players that are on there and not on there and such, it does look like you're going to get some players back. So that is a good thing. But do you have a feeling one way, shape, or form, say, like, for Monday to today? Have you changed your mind, or how are you going to pick, who are you going to pick? Is it the same for Monday to today?
I think it's the same. I think just, you know, get to Mac Jones. Put some pressure on him. Don't let him, you know, get in his comfort zone and kind of don't have, like, a repeat of last year's Eagles game when the rookie quarterback kind of went off. I just contain Mac Jones, and I think the Saints will be fine.
Wow. Contain Mac Jones, huh?
Contain him.
Okay. Let's see what takes place, obviously, Sunday. I will say this. I felt more like it could be a game that they wouldn't win on Monday, but I feel better on Friday, if that makes any sense to you. I do. I feel the closer we get to the game that I think the Saints will be able to pull this one out. I honestly do. I haven't come up with the score just yet. I could see something like immediately right now pop in my head, 24-20, something of that nature, but I think the Saints could make, I am. I, you know what? I am. Saints win 24-20.
All right, so you're giving, that's your score for the
That's my score. That's my score. 24-20 Saints.
You know, since you went out on a limb just now, I'm going to say 30-27 Saints.
Hmm. What was yours? 30-27?
30-27 Saints.
Wow. All right. 30-27. I'll put you down for that one. All right. There you go. Easy enough. Alvin Kamara, Cam Jordan spoke yesterday. Anything stood out to you before we play and let some listeners listen to it?
I think just kind of, you know, there was a thing that Cam Jordan said, I think. Mario Davis came up with that.
There you go again. You were doing so well, and all of a sudden you just dropped in and out. All we heard was Cam Jordan, and then we didn't hear anything after that. And now he's gone. All right. We'll try again for Jordan at some point. The communications. We can't hear you, bud. I heard Cam Jordan. That's all I heard. All right. Anyway, we'll hear what Cam Jordan has to say as we'll get to it here in a quick sec. As he and Alvin Kamara spoke yesterday, Sean Payton spoke today. He was having phone and communication issues here as well. So it's kind of giving you a bit of a warning right there as how the audio is going to sort of sound. And look, one of the things you heard Jameis Winston speak about earlier in the week, and it was about first and second down, getting themselves manageable in third down, things of that nature, right? So Sean Payton this morning kind of echoing it.
Look, it was one of the keys that we talked about. You know, we found ourselves in, I don't know how many third and 10 pluses, but, you know, that's certainly been part of the emphasis this week and being more efficient on early downs.
All right. So that's obviously going to be a key factor in this game, part of the game plan, trying to get, you know, success over in first and second down. Speaking of success, he says, look, you look at Bill Belichick, success is what they've done. It's what he's done. It's what he's tried to emulate, actually.
Well, look, I can't speak for Bill. I know you evolve. There's some things that you try to stay consistent with. I mean, quite honestly, when I got hired in 06, we had already had a chance to kind of see what was, you know, we spent a great deal of time looking closely at New England. If you did anything in business and there was someone having the success that they've been having, you'd be foolish not to look at it. And so we really tried to pay close attention to the right type of players we were bringing in, you know, makeup, intelligence. We valued those traits. We tried to as best we could get every bit of information relative to how they worked, how they trained. And, you know, I think we've had four joint practices, or at least three, maybe four joint practices. He's always been someone that I would say has been very, if you will. I mean, someone that I feel like I've got a good relationship with. But that started with really the respect factor and what he's been able to accomplish. So, look, to have the staying power he's had is obviously remarkable. And then myself here for the time we've been here, there's certain things that are non-negotiable, and there's certain things that I believe you adjust and adapt to over a long period of time. You know, I think there's probably a number of things that go into it.
So, again, obviously, you look at a franchise that's won that many Super Bowls that continually has success, and it makes sense to kind of take a look at it and see how you would do it when you were finally given the head coaching position here in New Orleans. As for Cam Jordan, Alvin Kamara again yesterday, when you listen to players this week, whether it was Wednesday or yesterday, it's what you would expect. And it's sort of how I felt on Monday and have this week. That game, you just grab you, you know, grab it as a sheet of paper and just throw it away. I mean, it just, it is what it is. For whatever reason, you had a complete breakdown of communication. You can't expect that's going to happen all the time or even really again to that level. Of course, you'll miss a player too. They get paid. They try to confuse you. You do the same thing. So, yes, you'll have certain plays being made, but to that level, I doubt it. I've said all week, I thought the defense kind of band-aid, kind of patched it together enough for the second half for this team to get back in. If not, tie the game, maybe even win it. So I think they'll address some of the issues they had in the first couple of drives in the first half against the Panthers. I would expect the Patriots to attack the middle. I would expect the Patriots to try to, you know, test some of the younger guys and stuff. And yes, you don't have a lot of those players that have been on IR like Davenport and Kwon. But looking at the injury report this week, looks like you're going to get some players back on defense because they've been limited all week. So the more bodies, the better, including starters like Marshon Lattimore. It should, in theory, help you. Cam on the 24-hour rule.
I mean, for a win, for a loss, for a draw, for whatever it is, it gives you enough time to process the tape, you know, figure out what corrective mistakes, what corrections need to be made from your mistakes made in the game. From the good plays, it gives you a little bit of reprieve saying, hey, this is the positive of the game. But at the end of the day, it's all about striving to get better. So whether it's positives or negatives, there's always a chance that you can get better in each and every play. And these are some things you have to focus on. 24-hour rule lets you, you know, get your emotions out from the game, lets you get your mindset and focus towards the next game. So 24-hour rule has been a thing that I fully bought into probably, what, 9-10 years ago at this point, out of this 11-year career, and really gives you the calm of knowing that this is a 17-game season, 18-week season. But this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. So you can't have this emotional roller coaster. It has to be a calm, steady, this is what we got to do to attack the game plan each and every day, each and every week.
One of the bright spots this past weekend in the game against Carolina was you did see Peyton Turner get a sack, and you saw some moments. Nick Underhill of NewOrleans.football actually put a piece together looking at his debut and called it really impressive. Again, he started out training camp really well. If he doesn't get injured, man, it stinks. You would have been able to have him against Green Bay, too, and who knows how much further along he'd been now. But regardless, you did see some very nice things. Cam Jordan on his fellow defensive lineman.
I think he showed a lot of energy. He showed a lot of grit, and, you know, he's got plenty of room to develop and grow. Without just diving into referees and erroneous roughing the passers, I think that we do have potential there. And, you know, as the season goes on, we'll know exactly what we have. I like the way he played.
I like that. Hey, his thoughts on quarterback Mac Jones of the Patriots?
I mean, he's a part of the Bill Belichick system. I mean, this is something that, you know, it's a methodical offense. You know, they have playmakers, and at the same time, they don't live and die by a deep ball. They're going to be very even and sort of try and identify our weaknesses and try and attack those. So as a defense, it's more on us and what we do as it is every week about trying to be better than we were the week before. And I do think, you know, with a couple of players popping back up this week, hopefully, you know, we'll be even stronger against the run than we were last week. And I think we had a pretty decent showing against the run if we go by numbers anyways.
All right. So that's a good thing. As Cam Jordan was saying, you look at this Patriots offense, and it is. It's going to be one that you're going to see the dinking and the dunking, and an offense is going to try to either lull you asleep, maybe a shot or two. And again, when you look at the highlights, when you look at some of the tape on Mac Jones, they're not asking him to do a ton, but he's efficient at what they're asking him to do. Gets rid of the ball quickly. It's short passing trees and routes, and it makes sense for what they're doing right now. Just manage it. Don't lose it. And be efficient. And that's what he's been doing through two games. So we'll talk with Sean Fazan from Fox 8 next. See what he sees when he's looking at it. Maybe some matchups that maybe favor the New Orleans Saints. We'll do that when we come back as we're just underway. It's a sports hangover. Don't forget Monday, Pelicans Media Day. We'll be broadcasting live from the Smoothie King Center since we are, of course, your home for Pelicans basketball. And don't forget to download that DraftKings app, please. The official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. They want to put new customers in the center of the action and give them a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Very easy. Pick your lineup, stay under the cap, see how you do against the competition. And remember, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. And the best part is you can deposit or withdraw that cash whenever you want. So download the app, put in the code LaRose, and off and away you go. Sean Fazan next on ESPN New Orleans.
Is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles.
If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com.
GregLeBlancToyota.com.
We are home of strong.
Whether you need to store one pallet or 10,000, Brown Eagle can help. We offer low-cost pallet storage and full-service fulfillment solutions. We also provide comprehensive value-added services like sorting, kitting, picking, packaging, labeling, shipping, and light assembly. For immediate pallet storage, contact Brown Eagle, Louisiana-owned and operated for nearly 50 years. Call us at 225-769-1111. Or visit browneagle.com today.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Rouse's Markets team is right here in our community and in communities all over South Louisiana, working around the clock to help their neighbors in need. They're bringing in fresh groceries and supplies every single day. And good, good, good news, the Rouse's Market in Golden Meadow, that store we all know and love, will be back open next Wednesday. Store manager Reggie Lejeune and all of your friends who work at Rouse's will be there. It's going to be a homecoming for sure. Rouse's Markets feels like home.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. Give me a key to the game and a score. Would love to hear what you think. Rusty, over on Twitter, have an offensive line in front of the quarterback instead of a swinging gate. Yes, I mean, that is your key. If you can't do that, you're absolutely toast, right? I mean, it really is that simple. If you can't do that, I don't know how you're going to be able to win any games, to be honest with you. Nola Flint says, get the ball to Alvin in space. He's not the check down guy. He's the best athlete on the team. Nola, I think they are trying to do some of those aspects of it. Again, those, I think one thing that is happening, and we saw Tampa do this last year, and we saw the Saints kind of encounter this a lot last year as well. If you have the athletes and you have the defense that can do it, they're just simply not going to try. They're not going to let you get him off. And what I mean by that is they're going to be spying on him. Somebody will be there. Somebody will basically be hitting him when he catches the ball. And that's why you're not seeing that space, I think, nearly as much because of, you know, lack of the passing game, lack of blocking, lack of doing a lot of the different other things as well. But that's why you sort of felt that way looking at that game last week. I don't know if a lot of people felt that he wasn't getting the ball in space, again, when everything was working in week number one, right? So it's kind of one of those things that you look at it. Yesterday, the injury report for the Saints limited Marshawn Lattimore, Calvin Throckton, and Peyton Turner. That's good, right? Because on Wednesday, they were limited, so they stayed limited. Other players that were limited that progressed to full. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Tino Passanau, Pete Werner, PJ Williams. That's good. That means they're available on Sunday, right? I mean, if you're, again, barring something that changes, if you're able to go from limited to full, that is obviously the direction that you want to get into. So Look, Peyton Turner, obviously, you want to see them get into some action. You want to see him continue to play and grow. Dennis Allen yesterday speaking with local reporters saying, hey, look, there's a lot of things that he can grow on. He's happy with this start, but definitely feels that there's a lot more room to grow. And again, he got his first sack in his first game. That's good. But again, you look at that injury report and you have to feel good. You have to feel good, especially since Chauncey Gardner Johnson, Werner and Williams were limited. They got upgraded to full. I mean, again, that's needed. Tanel Pastenaud, defensive end. He's full. So that's a good thing. And Pete Werner, Dennis Allen's real high on him and hopes that he can get onto the sooner rather than later on the field. And that's going to add depth to that linebacking core. Again, you're not going to have Quan Alexander for a little bit. So the more players you can get, the better. And look, the Saints were high on him when they drafted him at Ohio State this year. So we'll see how he sort of can help in that aspect of it. So one of the things that Sean Payton and players were talking about this week, too, was the roughing the passer calls. You're seeing that a lot in the league. Saints have benefited from it. They've had a few called against them here as well. Cam Jordan was touching on yesterday on the trying to play physical, but at the same time seeing and that the flags are coming and having to, you know, adhere to that.
But we have to play fast. And if anything, a penalty, we have to play faster. We'll correct penalties on tape and we'll try and get better from that. But what you can't do is play with fear in your heart in this game. I mean, especially as a defense, when you're trying to attack an offense, it just is what it is. We had a Malcolm Roach hit on Christian McCaffrey. That was a phenomenal, you know, interior defensive lineman getting out the stack and making a great effort play. And it resulted in a penalty, and I still don't understand it. But again, when you have guys running as fast as they can, sometimes you're not going to be able to place whatever heads up perfect football it is. And the stipulation of that is just, it's a part of the game. At that point, you only can make yourself play faster. When I think about the rules implied, at the end of the day, we still play football. People still have to get tackles. People still have to get hit. We're going to have to live with some of these and learn from a lot of them. But when you have something like 12 penalties from this last game, 11 penalties from the last game, over 100 yards worth of penalties, that's something you have to clean up. That's on the defense. That's on the team. That's on us. And that's something that has been addressed and we have to focus on for our next game. We were our own worst enemies, and we can't be that every game.
All right, that's Cam Jordan as we bring in Sean Fazan from Fox 8. Follow him over on Twitter, Sean Fazan, Fox 8 as well. Sean, good afternoon to you, man. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing well. So that's Cam. So let's start on the defensive end. Look, when you saw the Panthers sort of attack, it was kind of clear, right? Attack the middle, no Quan Alexander there, pass rush kind of couldn't get there, and you have a guy like Christian McCaffrey that can be used in so many areas. It really opened it up. Debo got picked on a little bit. What did you see on how the Panthers attacked the Saints defense? And more importantly, can you see the Patriots trying to do the same thing?
Well, they don't have Christian McCaffrey, so they're not going to go through a running back like Christian McCaffrey. And obviously, you see what happens when you run a guy like Christian McCaffrey that much. Week three of the season, he's got a hamstring injury, but that's neither here nor there. In the case of the Saints and Panthers, it just felt like early on they had the they had a read on what the Saints were doing. They were able to work that second level with Quan Alexander out. They were able to negate enough of the pass rush, but also use some of the play action game to their benefit. And then they went after the rookie Adebo. Adebo got beat a couple of times. A couple of times he forced a contested catch, but the catch was still made. I think there's been a significant improvement, or at least in comfort. And Sam Darnold's game, and he just had a good feel what was going on. And the Saints obviously missed a couple of players in that game, Quan being one, might be the biggest. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who, you know, there was talks leading up to the game that he was going to be the one matched up mostly with Christian McCaffrey. And I think they made McCaffrey work for it, but he was able to be productive against the Saints. So I think they figured it out in the second half. And the first half, you probably would have liked a better effort out of that defense.
Yeah, and you bring it up because that's something see in this game when you look at it. Look, Carolina scored a touchdown. They didn't score in the third. The defense figured it out. They patched it up enough. And, you know, when you take a look at what they scored in the fourth quarter, they only scored one touchdown. So that it, when you look at it, they did sort of help and figure it out, which is why I think they can be successful this week. When you look at matchups, though, What is it that you've seen Mac Jones doing well? And how do you see that offense with McDaniels trying to attack the Saints defense?
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, you don't necessarily see a whole lot of explosion, at least in the tape I've watched. Well, what you do see is a guy that is very decisive. Sometimes that decision is, if that first read's not there, he's coming off of it quick and he's getting to his second read and or check, whatever that might be. So you see a lot of small completions, a lot of short completions. Every now and then, you'll see when it gets to the second or third level. But for the most part, he's staying efficient. He's staying decisive. Pretty good against the blitz, I guess, at least in terms of a rookie. Not perfect in that regard, but he is getting the ball out of his hands relatively quickly, making smart decisions with the ball in terms of not turning the ball over. And he's not taking that many chances, which is pretty clear that they've instilled that in him right now, is do not lose the game for us by making the dumb mistake. And you can certainly see why he's been, you know, he's fit in fairly well, and they let, you know, McDaniels call plays. And look, they was the week one score, was a 1-point loss, and then they obviously won last week. The defense helped them out. They got a very good defense. I mean, a really, really good defense. And they want him to just be kind of a piece of the offensive system, not necessarily winning the game right now. And honestly, it's I've heard his comparison throughout the week. It's not that much different from when Tom Brady first took over. If you look at his stats and what he was doing early in his career. And if you look at the guys catching the passes right now, I believe White is their leading receiver, the running back, a couple tight ends making some catches as well. So you see what they're doing. He's getting on the field, getting his repetition in, quick to make the decision, and he has been, it's been in his head, just get the completion and get to the next down. Be very curious to see how the Saints approach him from a blitz package standpoint, because I felt like Donald was really good against the Saints blitz. Curious to see how they attack the rookie.
Yeah, no doubt. James White's their leading reception player over there, the running back, James White. He has 12, been targeted 13 times. Jacoby Myers targeted 15 times, 10 receptions. Those are your top two players. But, Sean, you look at other guys, whether it's Aguilar with 8 receptions, Hunter Henry, a tight end, 5, Geno Smith, 9. It's to your point. He's just spreading it around. So there's really no one per se, like, is the man, you know, the big guy, but that's kind of what they're going to do. When you look at the Saints offense, I'm sure you did what everybody tried to do this week and just were baffled when you looked at it. I played Brian Baldinger's little 2 minutes that he put out yesterday where the Panthers ran the same blitz 3 straight times. And I don't know if it's a good thing, Sean, to have your center consistently blocking the air or grass. That's never good. And he and Pete, numerous times in that game, were blocking no one. It was mind-boggling. What did you see when you look back?
Yeah, it was quite a bit. Look, first off, let's just get this kind of out there with the Saints in 2021. If they lose the offensive line battle, if they lose the line of scrimmage, this team is not winning anything. I mean, that's just the way this team is built. If that is an inconsistent group, you're just going to have an inconsistent team. The way this team is currently constructed, the way they win, they have to have a great offensive line. Not even a good offensive line, a great offensive line. Obviously, what you saw last week was not great. It was the opposite of great. It was, frankly, terrible. What you saw was, frankly, there were guys that were we've heard this so many times. You know, 51's the Mike, 18's the Mike. Mike's the right guy versus the wrong guy, and what could happen when you get that wrong,
right?
And that is now in the hands of the offensive line or the center, not in the hands of the quarterback. I'll be very curious to see if that maybe changes a little bit this week, but that is clearly an issue. If you get that wrong, you get catastrophic results. I mean, the amount of times where, like you said, two guys are blocking no one, and one guy is coming in, I'll just use the example Baldinger used, that third down A-gap blitz right in front of Ruiz's face.
Right.
I mean, right in front of his face, and it forced James to do that backspin, kind of, he tried to reset his feet, couldn't do it, felt and threw it middle of the field while falling down awkwardly. But they just have to get that right. I'd be very curious, when you are that bad, and that's bad even for a bad offensive line, what they showed. I mean, and they're a great offensive line, but that's bad even for a bad offensive line. So I will bet two things. A, the Patriots saw that, so the zone pressure is coming. But B, when you are that bad at one thing, they probably spent more time on that this week than anything else. So they'll score that up this week. But I can promise you the pressure, the zone looks are coming. The tight man-to-man coverage is coming on the outside. And they're going to have to prove that they can consistently beat that to get teams to back off of that. Right now, you can honestly say they have not shown that yet. So another week, another challenge, but that's something that's going to come this week, no doubt about it.
Sean, let's wrap up with what you think we're going to see on Sunday. Monday, I didn't feel as confident, but you know what? I actually feel more confident for some reason on Friday. Maybe there's, I'm trying to grasp at straws, but maybe knowing that when you leave that locker room Sunday and you board a bus and head to a plane, you're actually going to land in New Orleans for the first time in 5 weeks. Maybe that's a little extra motivation. I don't know. Maybe that's something else that kind of gets you juiced up for that game on Sunday. I think it's a big game.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a big game. We've seen, you know, what happens when the Saints stumble out of the gate and are not able to really survive September. So it's definitely a big game. I think just from a pure matchup standpoint, I like both teams' DBs, especially if Lattimore and T.J. Gardner-Johnson are back against the opposition's wide receivers. So whoever can somewhat offensively emerge out of that, I think had maybe just a little bit of success against the opposing team's DBs, I think may have the inside track at winning this game. Mm-hmm. We heard the stat of the week, got to protect the football, but literally you can post that on the wall for basically every single right. game in the NFL. So take care of the football. Right now, Josh, I have it as a toss-up. I do feel better that they're getting a little bit healthier in particular in the secondary and possibly with Tano Pasaville as well.
Yeah.
So I like the matchup. But dude, this is Belichick, man. He always seems to find a way, and they haven't won there much. I don't think they've won there this century. I think it's 1995 was the last time they weren't up in Foxborough. So I think it's going to be a tricky game. I'm not sure how it's going to go, though.
Sean Fazan, Fox 8, as always, appreciate the time, sir. What time do the post-newscast shows Friday Night Football starts tonight?
Yeah, 10:35. Check it out on Fox 8, and then Sunday night, final play at 10:30 as well.
Thank you, man. Appreciate the time.
Hi, bud.
At Sean Fazan, Fox 8. When we come back, Ben Mintz, you know him on Twitter. Bayou Ben at Barstool Mincy over on Twitter. We'll talk a little college football with him next. The Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Surprised.
I was definitely surprised.
Yep, we had no idea. Totally surprised.
Can you say jaw drop?
Who knew? State Farm, with these great rates?
The surprise everyone's talking about is the surprisingly great rates for home and auto insurance from State Farm, especially when you combine them.
When you want the real deal, call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today. 985-632-0988.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. Dashboard light problems? We can help. Our free Fix Finder service can read your check engine light, ABS light, and service indicator light, and give you possible solutions, verified by licensed technicians. You'll even get detailed results sent straight to your email so you have them when you need it most. It's the most complete free warning light report backed by technician-verified fixes. The free Fix Finder service, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
More details at AutoZone.com.
O'Reilly. It's O'Rewards Member Appreciation Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you can earn double, triple, even up to five times O'Rewards points on select purchases. Get bonus points on more than 200 items throughout the store, like wiper blades, fuel system cleaners, motor oil, and more. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Are you finally ready to sell that motorcycle or ATV that is just collecting dust in your garage? Harley, Honda, Polaris, Yamaha, or anything like it? RumbleOn.com will pay you cash today. And in minutes, you have a real cash offer. We will pay you cash before we pick it up. No more strangers coming to your house from a listing site. Use promo code RADIO for an extra $300 on your cash offer. Get your cash offer today. RumbleOn.com. Fast bikes, faster cash.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Jimmy from the Best Bank over in Gretna, sir. Thank you for giving us a call today. What do you have for us?
Hey, Gus. Great show.
Thank you, man.
Two things. Yeah, man, no problem. All right, two things. You know, my take on Jameis Winston, obviously, is very talented. We're getting him at the right point in his career. You know, he's still young, but he has some experience. Obviously, you know, the first game was great. The second game, it was pretty clear that they were like, you know what, we're going to blitz Winston until he figures it out. Now, I watched it in real time, but I went and watched it again on the DVR, and I just noticed either A, he wasn't audibling at the line, or maybe Sean Payton wasn't allowing him to do that. But it's pretty safe to say, Gus, that we're going to be seeing a lot of nine in the box, and also, you know, to make sure Kamara doesn't get off and the screen isn't effective. And really, you know, when Winston threw those two interceptions, it was like he was panicking. The blitz was coming through the line. And I know the O-line is getting a lot of heat, but we know they're talented. It's probably the strength of the team. But when they're sending seven guys through five offensive linemen, it's kind of hard to block that. So Winston has to be prepared for more blitzes, more blitzes, more blitzes. And it just looked like he was throwing the ball up like it was like three flies in. He would panic and just toss it. It's not that I'm concerned about him throwing an interception. We know he does that. We also know he's got a great deep ball. We saw that in the first game. So it's kind of feast or famine with him. What I get concerned about is the interceptions, like I said, are like they're as high as punts, Gus. I mean, it's like he panics and throws it up in the middle of the field like it's like a fair catch, a game of three flies in. So do you expect them to audible more? I mean, because, again, I expect the Patriots to blitz a lot, use the same format the Panthers did. And, you know, what is he going to do at the line to make up for that? Because I know Breeze got a lot of heat for being old and losing arm strength. But, again, we knew Breeze, even last year, winning 12 games. He knew how to audible at the line and make a decision when he saw that blitz coming. And I wanted to get your take on that.
Yeah, look, I think a lot of it, Jimmy, is just being dumbfounded. I don't know how it could be that bad. But again, the only logical explanation is that this is the first year of now the line making the calls and doing those protections. It was practiced and done throughout training camp by Eric McCoy. He goes out five snaps in the season opener. Now we have somebody who told us in training camp he's done nothing but work on being a left guard. Now have to remember and try to do those protection calls. And again, doing it either at practice or in a film room and doing it in the game when you're seeing people move around, I think was an issue. So either the quarterback now has to take on that or, you know, Ruiz has to get better at it. But as Sean just said in the previous segment, it's dumbfounding how the person lined up in front of you can go right past you and hit the quarterback numerous times. I don't know. It doesn't make much sense. Ben Mintz joins us from Barstool Sports at Barstool Mincy is the way to follow over on Twitter. Ben, good afternoon to you, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. We actually just had Trey Murphy, the Pelicans' first-round pick.
Nice.
On our Show Pick Central a second ago in the studio. Good to meet him, and he sounds excited about starting up the Pelicans.
Dude, I love TM3. I mean, it is what I've seen just in Summer League, just the attitude, just I really like him. I'm like, start the guy. I think he can really have an immediate impact, Ben, early for the Pelicans.
Yeah, I do too, and I love his length and just the fact that, you know, the floor spacing with Zion driving, and I feel like he can sit out the perimeter, knock down open threes, and really give something the Pelicans needed. And like his length and athleticism, and, you know, he was in studio. It was the first time I met him, but he seemed really excited about New Orleans. Had glowing things to say about Willie Green, just said he's a player's coach.
Yeah.
Really relates well to the players, the modern NBA, and they love it. So, you know, obviously everything's all roses before preseason, but
well,
he was a really nice guy.
Well, I hope it is. Christian Clark's piece from the Picky.
Yeah, good point.
But here's the thing, though. You bring up something that is something that I brought up yesterday when it pertains to Zion and everything that you've read and all that. If you don't care for somebody or they don't have a relationship that we all would love and it's kumbaya, you got to give Willie a shot. And I think that's what you saw in Vegas. You saw those guys kind of either buy in. I mean, he just met the guys and they practiced for 7 to 10 days and they didn't lose a game. So it's a respect thing. This is a guy that's worked his butt in the league to be in the league, stay in the league, and now coach. Just respect that. Just be respectful. Give him a shot. If you don't like it, do whatever you want. But it's interesting that you bring that up about TM3 relating and buying in that quickly. Because, again, I think at the very least, starting Monday, as we'll find out in Media Day here, that's what you have to do. Zion, B.I., all these guys. Give Willie Green a shot. He deserves that respect.
Yeah, for sure. And I asked him about, like, how he's doing getting settled in New Orleans. Ida said he has an apartment. But his parents are down there trying to get going. But, you know, I feel like, you know, obviously it's going to be an adjustment for him with everything that's happened. So, but I'm excited to follow it. Look forward to tantalizing upside of the Pelican. Hopefully they can finally start heading toward that direction.
At Barstool Mincy is a way to follow Ben over on Twitter. Sir, I saw you were doing already some gambling stuff, looking at some games, some big ones. I'm already looking to next week. I know if you put on ESPN and stuff, they're talking Pats and Bucks. I'm salivating for Ole Miss and Alabama. I can't wait for this, dude. I know that you're near and dear to the Rebs here. I think legitimately this year, like, just judging Lane Kiffin's demeanor this year, I think he's calm, I think he's confident, and I legitimately think he feels like he won this year.
I think last year's Ole Miss Bama game gives the Rebels some confidence, because even when Ole Miss was 5-5, they all 63-48. But Ole Miss went up and down the field the entire game, and Alabama couldn't stop them. And so that's got to be a reason to give them confidence. And with Matt Corral back and looking as dominant as he did on Saturday against Tulane, and then Ole Miss's defense, look, they were one of the worst in the country last year. There's no sugarcoating it. They were 127th. But the transfer portal's kind of been a game changer, because now you can improve so quick. And, you know, a linebacker, Chance Campbell, led the Big Ten in tackles at Maryland last year. He's been an instant game changer. Otis Reese, the Georgia transfer in the secondary, made a big difference. And, you know, I think the defense has improved a lot. Alabama's got 3 returning starters on offense. You know, I'm not coming on here saying Ole Miss is going to win, but I think they got a really good shot. And, you know, I think Ole Miss has had a lot of success with that spread offense against Saban. I don't think they're scared. So, countdown's on. 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 Central, CBS. We're gonna do a huge Barstool live stream that was me, Dave Portnoy, and Big Cat for it. So, pretty surreal. Big week. Big weekend.
I can't wait for that. No doubt, for sure. Plus, you know, Lane's finding some time to, you know, get Arch on board. I think he might have a shot with him, especially if, you know, this year the quarterback and Corral gets the Heisman, right? And you got and Ole Miss, you know, maybe beats Bam and stuff. I think he's got a shot to land Arch. What do you think?
I do. I definitely do. And Arch is going to Ole Miss Bama, and then he's going to LSU Ole Miss as well. So Arch has got a couple Ole Miss trips. You know, I know he's going to Bama to visit Bama. It's not for Ole Miss. But, you know, certainly would love to see Arch watch the Rebels pull it out in Tuscaloosa. You know, I went in 2014 and 15. That was actually when I was back in school at Ole Miss. So I got to go to both of those wins. It's happened before, you know. I mean, I'm obviously drinking the Kool-Aid. There's no getting around the guys. I mean, there have been a lot of lean Rebel years, to say the least. So, you know, if you're a member of our fan base, there's no way you can't be excited right now. And like you said, countdown's on to next Saturday. Can't wait. But looking forward to some football tomorrow, too. I know a lot of people are sleeping on this slate a little bit, but we got a couple interesting ones.
I think I was going to ask you a couple of those games on that slate tomorrow. The one that I'm not looking for, I went to Southern Miss, so that's Southern Miss Bama. We're not even going to discuss that one. To me, the Southwest Classic game seems fun. A&M in Arkansas. How do you see this one over in Jerry World tomorrow?
Man, so this is one I've kind of gone back and forth. So at first I liked Arkansas, but I didn't realize. I thought it was in Fayetteville, so I thought they yanked it out of Dallas. It turns out it's Dallas. I actually like A&M. And I think everybody's taking Arkansas this week. It was 5.5, now it's down to 4.5. Look, Arkansas has improved a ton. I mean, I respect what they're doing. They panhandled Texas at the line of scrimmage, both sides of the ball. I don't think they can do that to A&M. Also don't think they're as good leaving Fayetteville. And, you know, because A&M's got the backup quarterback in there, I think, you know, everybody I know that's taking the underdogs on Arkansas this week. And I think Arkansas is going to really struggle to move the ball against A&M defense. So I'm kind of leaning to A&M in this game, if I had to make
12th-ranked Notre Dame, 18th-ranked Wisconsin. It's over at Wisconsin, and the Badges are 6.5-point favorite. What am I missing here, or is that the right way to look at it?
Well, so what's going on with this one? This is actually the Barstool College Football Show. This game is actually in Chicago at Soldier Field on a neutral site. And the College Football Show is actually there tomorrow morning at 9:30. I'm not part of that, but that's a big Barstool thing this week. I'm leaning Notre Dame at the point. I just don't trust Wisconsin laying 6.5 with that offense. I mean, you know what they're going to do. They're going to try to smash you at the line of scrimmage. But I think Notre Dame's got a decent run D, you know, enough to where they can hold up. And I just don't see this as a high-scoring game. I mean, it's like a 23-20 game. So give me the 6.5 points, the underdog, on this one.
We could do a couple of other games here, sir, but I'm running out of time, and I definitely want to get to as big a heart as you have, man. Maybe we'll do this once a week, man, and go over some games and some fun, especially next week. But tell folks how you're trying to help out, man, for those still recovering from Hurricane Ida.
So we launched Back to Boot shirts with Barstool. With all the money's going to United Way Fund that's focusing on the hardest hit areas after Hurricane Ida. You can buy them. I'll send you a link and tag you on a tweet.
Sure.
Right after this is over. But they're doing really well so far, and I just want to thank all the people in Louisiana that are supporting this. You know, who am I to have this platform at Barstool to not try to give back to the which is giving me so much. And I think we're, you know, so far they're selling pretty well. 100% of the money is going toward the Unified Fund for the Hurricane Ida relief. And, you know, I'm doing everything I can. Just it's like, you know, nationally when you hear a hurricane, it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. But, man, there's some areas that are just hit so, so hard by this. So I'm trying to keep the spotlight on it and do what I can for the great people of Louisiana.
I love it, man. Appreciate it so much, dude. Send me that link. We'll retweet it here as well. And we'll hook up with you next week for sure, sir. Thank you so much, man.
Sounds good. And look forward. I'm trying to get to New Orleans for Halloween for that Arch Manning home game. Cincinnati, Tulane, St. Buck. So
yeah.
Get down there.
Well, when you do, man, give me a buzz, man. Love to have a beer with you. Sounds good. At Barstool Mincy is the way to follow Ben over on Twitter. We come back, South LaFouche, head football coach, Brian Young, on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
One Prozac a day, husband's a CPA. Her dreams went out the door when she turned 24. Only been with one man. What happened to her plan?
Your new Ford dealership in LaFouche Parish is Calvin Braxton Ford. You may need your vehicle serviced, but you don't want to drive too far. Get ready for some good news. The Calvin Braxton Ford service department in Lockport is now open. And better yet, they truly want to keep your vehicle running at its best. Now offering a special on gas-only oil changes, just $39.95 up to 5 quarts. Plus, with 4 new tires, your alignment is only $69.95. Yeah, Calvin Braxton Ford, 5878 Highway 1 in Lockport.
El Paso Mexican Grill and Steakhouse, Highway 1 in Raceland, features fantastic, authentic Mexican food and steaks. They have great lunch specials Monday to Fridays, plus enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. And on Fridays, it's 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close, plus live music on Friday evenings. El Paso Mexican Food and Steakhouse on Highway 1 Raceland.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, LaFouche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply. 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. It is absolutely beautiful outside. It's nice. I know it's like to stay around. I know it's like to get in the 40s or 50s, but it is the beginning of what football weather sort of feels like. And what's great about it is we're going to have high school football, even in some of the hardest hit areas. And as we've touched on for the last 3 weeks, sometimes sports brings people together. It helps, no doubt. And that's why I want to bring in head coach Brian Young. South LaFouche Tarpons will play starting tomorrow. They will play this season. Can't play any home games. We'll get to that in a quick second. But coach, first off, good afternoon. And sir, you got football tomorrow. You got football.
Yeah, man. Good afternoon. It's an exciting time. You know, at South LaFouche and on the Bayou, it's almost like surreal. You know, it's a few weeks ago, we didn't know if it was going to happen. And when we got the okay, you know, started going. So it's just good to know we have a game tomorrow.
Brian, we've talked to Tim Rebo, Willie Fritz, and Frank Selfo, three college coaches that had to relocate during the season, get ready somewhere else in other cities, all that other aspect of it. They're colleges. They have more money. They have abilities to sort of do that. And even they spoke of the challenges of getting kids connected, getting practice going, doing all those things. Kind of tell us a little bit about those challenges you had to have the last couple of weeks since the storm, since a lot of that parish is just either getting power or still doesn't have power, or some of those homes aren't there anymore.
Right. You know, a lot of them evacuated, and what we did, you know, we got all their numbers before we left. The position coaches got their numbers, so we'd be able to touch base with them, you know, after the storm and kind of get a gauge on where everybody was. So we tried to stay in touch as much as possible as we could through that way, but, you know, cell service wasn't the greatest. And then, you know, when we got the okay, got everybody back. For the most part, we did lose a few that evacuated and had nothing to come back home to, so they stayed, you know, stayed where they were. And, but man, we got a resilient community and our kids are tough, you know, so they're making it work. You know, we got water bottles at practice. A lot of people pitched in and helped. You know, we had Ben Bordelon and Newman High donated mouthpieces, gloves, cleats. Sulfur High came in with a bunch of gas, because that was a hot commodity as well. Mm-hmm. As far as people getting around waiting in lines 5 hours for gas. So, was able to get that. Mark Frazier and GIS stepped up, a lot of water with the ice and helping kids with gas as well. And Brulee High donated some footballs. I mean, I'm probably missing some, you know, but it takes everybody to make that happen. And luckily for us, there's a lot of good people, you know, in the state that have reached out and made this possible.
Is it still kind of tough to digest? Because obviously, there's an area. Driving around, you see it, how hard a hit area this really was?
Yeah, man, it's, you know, we did a story on Fox 8 the other day, and one of our kids said it best. Mm-hmm. You know, he drove down one last time, and when he came back, and wasn't going to look the same. And it's just very eerie feeling, you know, a lot of stuff still not open. You know, some houses looked like it was put in a blender, you know. So, it's devastation all over, so. To get back to a little bit of normalcy and give the community something to rally around, you know, we're looking forward to that.
So some of the challenges are going to exist throughout the season, no doubt, as everyone still continues to recover. As for the football program, Coach, one of those is that you're not going to be playing per se at home, but you kind of sort of feel already, though, with so many people pitching in, I think a lot of people are going to maybe pulling for you even on those home games that you're going to be playing there on the road. But is that challenging, or are you guys just happy to be playing football this year?
Yeah, it both, you know. We happen to get to play football, but it is challenging. You know, we don't have a locker room. School boards, you know, hooked us up with like a temperature-controlled deal and underneath the stadium to keep our stuff from molding and mildewing. But it's hot, you know. Luckily, we got some cool weather, and then every game's on the road. So it's going to be challenging, but, you know, we preached to our kids even before the storm. You know, there's no excuses. You know, in life as well, you know, you're going to get knocked down. Do you stay down or do you get back up and fight? You know, so it's a little adversity, but we try to look at the bright side of things. And like I said, man, lucky for us, we got a bunch of resilient kids in our locker room or around us. We don't have a locker room no more. You know, they're real resilient, and it makes it easy, you know, to go to work every day and be around them.
Speaking with head coach Brian Young of South Lafourche, your Tarpons, what kind of football team we're going to have this season, Coach?
Yeah, you know, I think we should have a pretty good football team. We'll be able to compete. Real senior heavy, a lot of great leadership. You know, but we got a tough schedule as well. You know, you're not going to be able to just throw your hat out there because you got an SL on it. You know, people's going to get out the way and just let you win football games. You know, and we start off with a tough one tomorrow. You know, E.D. White historically has been a powerhouse in their classifications, and they're not going to beat themselves. They're real disciplined. They're big. They're physical. So we'll get to see where we're at right off the jump.
Obviously, talent and having the game plan and all of that, look, those are things that, you know, you can try to work on during the week, and that determines a lot of times and dictates how games go. But, Coach, sports, football in particular, it's a game of emotions, man. You see that. Obviously, we saw a couple weeks ago with the Saints in Green Bay. We saw Tulane, Oklahoma. We can sort of see that aspect of it. you think you'll have a little bit of a boost knowing what you're playing for and who you're playing for when you take the field tomorrow?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we talked to him at practice this week. You know, it's you're playing for the community, you know. And I told him, I said, people show up to watch you play because they believe you can win. You know, if they didn't believe that you could win, they wouldn't buy a ticket to come watch it. You know, maybe your mom and dad would be there, but not any community. So you got to believe in yourself and do a lot. You know, some people, I mean, a lot of people still go home and they're trying to clean their house, mm-hmm. you know. But at the same time, you know, we try to remind them that it is a football game and, you know, they don't need to get too worked up for, you know, go out there, have fun and compete. You know, because when you blink, it's over. So that's kind of where we're at with it. But I feel like there'll be a lot of emotions, you know, come 11 o'clock on Saturday. But, you know, we feel good about it.
Okay. Martin Crusader, but I can promise you this year I'll be rooting for the Tarpons here as well. And look, it's one of those things where that when you think of, as Garland's story for Fox 8 points out, I mean, you have players from LaRose, Cutoff, Golden Meadow, Galliano. I mean, I obviously know a lot of those people in those areas are still very severely affected too. And having a kid, I mean, he's 4, but being a father, I can understand, you know, sometimes for these kids, this is a way to, you know, kind of think of something else other than all the other stuff that goes. And I think parents just want their kids to be happy. And maybe for those 3 hours, man, tomorrow and throughout the season, it can provide that entertainment for a bit. And just, you know, we're not worried about tarps and cleaning this or fixing that. It's let's go play some football.
Man, that's correct, man. Just to give them a little something, you know, to look forward to throughout the week instead of going home and picking up shingles and, you know, gutting your house or tarping your roof, man. So I'm just really excited to be able to get this thing going. And like I said, man, there's too many people to thank to make it happen. So we're just real grateful.
How can people help if they want to, Coach?
Yeah, you know, people are bringing canned goods for the community or the kids. I know Soph also brought some hygiene products. It's just anything, man. I know people down here are not going to turn anybody away with stuff.
Sure.
You know, gas has gotten a little bit better. The lines aren't as long. So, man, look, I'm going to tell you, Gus, if you came 3 weeks ago to where we are now, it's a lot of tremendous, we made a lot of leeway. Mm-hmm. You know, the lines are back up. A lot of people's got power again. You know, now you Golden Meadow and stuff a little longer, but, you know, people are busting their butt to get people back, you know, to living, as close to normal life as you can. So, man, just a bunch of support to make it work. And then I know Matt Moscona had a guy on the radio. They donated $100,000.
Yeah.
You know, to South LaFouche Athletics, which is, I mean, I'm thinking he was going to say $5,000 or $10,000. I was going to be like, man, that's sure a lot of money. He said $100,000. My door wasn't locked out. I fell out the truck, you know.
No doubt. And obviously that will help out the school, the community there as well. So, Coach, I don't know if you ever – really welcome it, but I think you'll have no problem starting tomorrow at 11 a.m. to have parents yell from the stands, terrible call, or what are you doing, right? I mean, because that means it's all about football and you're back to doing what you guys love. So, it's awesome you guys are even going to play right now because of what happened in that area. So we'll be cheering for you, Coach.
Well, thank you guys, man. I appreciate y'all taking the time to have me on.
Of course, for sure. We'll touch base throughout the season. Head Coach Brian Young of the South LaFouche Tarpons. And it will be taking on E.D. White tomorrow at 11 a.m. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. All right, so that is hour number one. It's in the books. Don't forget, we're just getting started. Got us all the way to 3 o'clock. So in between this 3-minute break of the